Chapter 5, Basic MMS, Sodium Chloride Plus Water, or what I refer to as Protocol 1. Easy start, no flavor, no mixing acid activator. The term MMS is one that has been given by those who add sodium chloride with water to drink for medicinal purposes. It is also sometimes referred to as unactivated MMS, because there is no acid mixed with it when you use it. However, this mix of those two ingredients is not new to the health supplement industry. It is also called stabilized oxygen and has been marketed as a liquid form of chemically packaged oxygen for decades in their stores. It can also be used alone as a water purifier. When you drink it, and it enters the stomach, it becomes activated by the stomach acids and turns into chlorine dioxide. There is one regimen with this type of MMS called Protocol 1 that I have found useful to share, which is taken as a maintenance supplement against general sickness, as well as an oxygen enhancer for those that are exercising. You can try this method out to see if it is one that works for your particular needs with chlorine dioxide. See the diagram below of the measured amounts and how it is taken. So in this diagram below, I list Protocol 1. It's the simplest way to take chlorine dioxide. You get a bottle, let's say a liter bottle of water, and you add between 1 and 5 drops of sodium chloride. That's 1 to 5 drops of NaClO2 per liter of drinking water. And that's basically it. Now, how do you know how many drops to put in? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I put down here that 1 or 2 is for the beginner or somebody who might have low hydrochloric acid levels in their stomach, which is a little hard to find out. But if you're new, 1 to 2 drops is fine. 3 might be for someone who's getting into it and they getting used to it. And then 4 and 5 for somebody who's been doing it for some time and feels comfortable raising it to that level. And then I list that the NaClO2, the sodium chloride, turns to chlorine dioxide in your stomach. And I'll go through this over and over again as I go through the chapter. This formulation protocol is called Protocol 1 because it was first discovered by one of the chlorine dioxide pioneers, Jim Humble. In his first book, written about chlorine dioxide, he originally mixed this packaged supply of sodium chloride with liquid to have his malaria-stricken workers drink. It was the first discovery by him that demonstrated that this mix was really special. This drawing of above shows how you can take a liter of plain water and add 1 to 5 drops of unactivated MMS, which is NaClO2, to be used for drinking throughout the day. If you are doing a true Protocol 1, this becomes your normal drinking water all the time, both day and night. An average person will drink between 2 to 3 liters of this a day for their water needs, which means that they would drink between 3 to 15 drops of NaClO2 liquid form per day. Before I get into the actual dosages that a beginner or more experienced user would take, let me show the process of how the unactivated MMS helps the body as it is ingested. So here I have a set of pictures that show NaClO2 when you mix that sodium chloride with water. Again, it's between 1 and 5 drops per liter. And then you just drink that as a part of your day. I found that as you drink it, it becomes activated in your stomach with your hydrochloric acid that's already there. And as it becomes activated, the CLO2 now oxidizes. It breaks down pathogens and toxins in your body, in your bloodstream, because it's absorbed from your stomach into your bloodstream. And then it becomes oxygen and chloride, which are both helpful things to have in your body. The oxygen and chloride also give you an oxygen boost, which allows for further healing and added electrolytes. I've found personally, and I might bring this up again, that when I have this mix, I'm using Protocol 1, I only take between 3 to 5 sips of water a max. I don't take these big giant gulps. because I found that's a little overwhelming for the stomach to put that much in. When sodium chlorite is mixed with water in these amounts, it virtually has no flavor or color. It pretty much tastes and looks like water. Don't be fooled, though. It is potent and will turn to chlorine dioxide in your stomach as it gets to the hydrochloric acid there. A healthy, functioning stomach produces over a liter of this hydrochloric acid every day, which translates to at least 800 drops an hour of the acid. If you compare this 800 drops of HCl to the 1 to 5 drops of unactivated MMS, or sodium chloride, that you would be drinking with this Protocol 1, you can easily see that the chemical reaction will make chlorine dioxide, which is ClO2, within the stomach chamber. Some initial research that I have done with this shows that each drop of unactivated MMS in drinking water produces about 7 milligrams of ClO2, which is just a form of measuring it, as it is processed in the body. This is a little more than if you were to activate a drop of MMS, and it is more than double of what a milliliter of CDS gives you. Now, those are things that I'll talk about in future chapters, but that's just a reference point. This means that one drop of unactivated MMS is not equal to one drop of activated MMS. It also means that a drop of activated MMS is not equal to 1 milliliter of CDS. It's not the same potency. One drop of unactivated MMS does not equal one drop of activated MMS. And one drop of activated MMS does not equal 1 milliliter of CDS. Now, this isn't that important to know right now. I just put this down as a reference in the future if anybody's curious about how those things translate. So that's why it's in this part of the chapter. This version of ClO2 in the stomach is most potent and pure because it does not gas off into the open air like any of the other methods of making it. For this reason, it is only recommended in small amounts, 1 to 2 drops of NaClO2 for beginners trying it out. If you have a lot of experience with chlorine dioxide by using it for prolonged periods, or you've done multiple protocol detoxes like the Protocol 1000 or Protocol C for 3 weeks at a time, you may be willing to work your way up to 3, 4, or even 5 drops per liter of drinking water. It is suggested that you never rush yourself when increasing the number of drops, though. Remember that Protocol 1 can be considered the most potent protocol mix for the following reasons. Number 1, there is no gas off that occurs when the unactivated MMS mixes with the HCl in your stomach. This means that you are getting 100% of an efficient mix of chlorine dioxide gas as the ingredients are mixed in your stomach. You can compare this to other versions of ClO2, which is activated MMS or CDS, which are shown in future chapters, which allow for some of the gas to escape into the air before drinking it. And the second reason why it's very potent is your stomach may be producing varied levels of hydrochloric acid at the moment of your drinking a Protocol 1 drink, which means that you may have a Herxheimer response when taking 3, 4, or 5 drops in your liter of water NaClO2. Because of the potential for high potency, you would need to be extra vigilant of how your body responds to each drink that you take. Always be looking for a Herxheimer response, especially if you feel nausea, and be ready to cut the next dose in half, as it says in the 3 golden rules in the last chapter. Now, that's a lot of information, but initially the protocol itself is pretty simple, so I just put this information as a reference. But now I'm going to go into more boring chemistry that explains ClO2 in you with the Protocol 1. Along with the basic information listed above about this simple way of taking chlorine dioxide, I would like to demonstrate my understanding of the chemical reaction that happens as unactivated MMS, which is NaClO2, turns to chlorine dioxide in the stomach of a person. This reaction is in a safe and diluted quantity of liquid drops per liter of water, or it's about a 1 to 20,000 ratio. That's one drop NaClO2 plus 20 to 20,000 drops of water. As shown in the three-box diagram in this paragraph, the unactivated MMS, or NaClO2, molecule combines with the acid, HCl, and actually produces three different things. These are as follows. So, again, when you drink this protocol one, here's what is generated in your stomach chemically. The first thing is chlorine dioxide, ClO2. The second thing is just a little bit of salt, NaCl. It's about 1 to 2 grains per drop, so not very much. It's not like you're running the salt shaker in your stomach or anything, just a couple of grains. And then the third thing which is generated, which is kind of interesting, is hydrogen. That's the H on the HCl turns to hydrogen. It's worth noting here that I explain a lot of the benefits of hydrogen as a medicine in later chapters of this book. This includes information on producing it in the home for drinking, putting it on the skin, and inhaling the gas, which is called Brown's gas. So again, that's just a side tangent of hydrogen, which is coming up later in this book. In fact, I share links to over 600 studies and other articles that show the benefits of this gas as it is ingested in the body. This means that when you drink the Protocol 1, you are also taking hydrogen in your body, which can contribute to your health as well. This hydrogen-based benefit does not occur with activated MMS or with CDS because the hydrogen goes into the air and upward very quickly. However, when the chemical reaction takes place in the stomach, the hydrogen is contained and absorbed by the body. I personally have seen people improve from problems of insomnia and brain clarity and stiff muscles that result from workouts and older age with various levels of Protocol 1. What I'm saying there is I've given this to friends and said, hey, try this. And then they're like, hey, I'm sleeping better, or my muscles don't hurt as much when I work out and things like that. Additionally, if consistently taken over time, it will help to improve gastrointestinal gut problems, as well as very gradually remove toxins from the body. These improvements do not just happen magically because of the ingredients. They occur because ClO2 oxidizes any acidic material in the bloodstream or body tissues, and it selectively kills bacteria that is not conducive to proper digestion in the gut. As it does this work, it leaves behind fresh oxygen atoms and chloride at the very spot of the problem areas. This leftover material also promotes the health and detoxification of that specific area. Now, I've simplified some chemical reactions here in this last paragraph, but hopefully you get the gist of it. All other things consider, Protocol 1 has several benefits that come with it and a few cautions that need to be listed here. This table below helps to understand this type of medicinal use of ClO2. So I've got a table down below. It's got two columns. The title of the table is Benefits and Setbacks of Doing Protocol 1 for Chlorine Dioxide. I'm going to go through the benefits first. This is a long list of things that are nice about Protocol 1 here. Benefit number one, it tastes like water. Yay. Second benefit, it is so simple and easy to start and do compared to the other protocols. Again, it's just 1 to 5 drops of NaClO2 with your drinking water per liter. The next thing, it's a great maintenance dosage and it's a slow detox. Now, I do talk about a different type of maintenance dose in the future chapters, but this one is also a maintenance dose, so keep that in mind when you're not on some kind of specific protocol. The next one is there's no need to refrigerate the mix of water with sodium chloride. You can even pre-bottle several days worth and store them. The next benefit is it's a most efficient use of ClO2 mix. None of it gases off into the air. Your body is able to consume it all. The next one, additional hydrogen atoms are consumed within the body. And the last one that I've listed is it's easy to transport NaClO2 and mix it on the spot with small bottles. Now, I've also heard that you need to keep it out of sunlight, but that's in direct sunlight. So just keep that in mind. Now, let me go to the cautions on this table. Caution number one, your stomach needs to have a fair amount of hydrochloric acid. And for the most part, people do, but that's just something I put down as a caution. The next caution or warning is it's not as potent against disease that you already have. For instance, if you have some issue with one of the many diseases I list, it might be better to use activated MMS or CDS. The next caution warning, it takes time to get used to the full system, the full 5-drop mix per liter. Another caution is that you need to understand that a little Herxheimer response is a part of the process, and it may be a little delayed compared to MMS or CDS. That's just been my own experience. Nothing serious, but just, you know, keep that in mind. And the last caution warning I have here is it is a slower detox process than Protocol 1000 or Protocol C. Okay, so that's my list of benefits and cautions. I think the benefits definitely outweigh the warnings and cautions, but it's good to understand that. Precautions for beginners using Protocol 1. Before deciding to try Protocol 1 out, you need to be sure that your gut or your gastrointestinal system is not in any kind of disastrous shape. Some allergy problems or other autoimmune issues should be all right. However, if you are having some serious issues where your body isn't producing enough stomach acids for digestion, you may want to start with the activated MMS or CDS protocols of chlorine dioxide instead of this version. Of course, it doesn't hurt to just maybe put a drop in, you know, a liter and just try that out for a day and then see if that works and move it up a little more. My guess is that almost any reasonably healthy person would be fine to start this out. You would just want to stick to 1 to 2 drops per liter until your digestive system is used to the chemical process that takes place to translate the unactivated MMS to activated MMS in your stomach. As I have done variations of this protocol, I noticed that it is very important to pay attention to how your gut responds to each dose so that you know how to regulate the next dose. And this next part of the chapter is a big question that I've been asked, and I have asked myself, why not just do sodium chloride plus water for all of the chlorine dioxide uses? I've been asked this before about why this method of taking MMS is not the mainstream way of doing it. Unactivated MMS is easy, simple, convenient, and fast. Yet the other methods are much more common and widely used, even though they require mixing and special storage techniques. The answer has to do with hydrochloric acid levels in the stomach. And I'm just reiterating and pounding this issue over and over as to why, because I've talked about it before. These levels vary from person to person, and even from one period of time to the next. To use examples from Jim Humble's experiences, there have been people in other countries that have had serious health problems that did not see very much improvement with using unactivated MMS until they tried using the acid activator method found in the next chapter on activated MMS. Their bodies, specifically their digestive system, were in such bad condition that they were not ready to sufficiently change the NaClO2 to ClO2. Even with relatively healthy people, the variances in stomach acid levels are difficult to know from the outside. If your HCl levels are low in the stomach, you would only want to take 1 to 2 drops per liter for your drinking water. However, if you are eating nutritiously, getting enough rest and exercise, managing your stress levels, and avoiding the overuse of antibiotics and other medications that destroy your intestinal walls, your HCl levels, which is hydrochloric acid levels, in the stomach would likely be higher. Either way, there's probably always enough HCl in the stomach to activate MMS perfectly fine for the body to utilize. It is just difficult to know where there may be times where the HCl levels are low enough for the individual to feel a little bit of a Herxheimer response, which is uncomfortable stomach cramps or nausea, as the body processes the unactivated MMS. Stomach acid levels. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that just to give some information for those who may have never studied it before. Although I'm not a scientist in the area of stomach acid production, I have done a little bit of research to help understand what seems to affect levels of hydrochloric acid, one of the main substances in your stomach that's used for food digestion, as well as the activation of NaClO2. Knowing the actual level of HCl in the stomach is difficult for the average person, unless you have some specific testing tools or methods to find this out. The information below is based on some simple internet searches which answer the HCl questions in each column. So this is a table I just threw together to help, if you don't know much about HCl levels in the stomach, this will help at least you get a grasp for it. The table has three columns. On the left side column, it's called signs of low HCl levels in your stomach. So they're symptoms. The middle one is possible reasons for low HCl levels. That's the second column. And then the third column is ways to remedy low HCl levels. So this table is all about hydrochloric acid levels in your stomach. So these are the signs of low HCl in your stomach. Regular heartburn or indigestion. Undigested food in your stool. So when you go number two in the toilet, you see this food that's not digested. Feeling unusually full after meals, even small meals. Bloating and heavy belching after meals. Constipation or diarrhea in the morning after having meals. Brittle hair and fingernails from long-term deficiency of HCl. Now keep in mind that just because you have these symptoms doesn't mean you have low HCl levels. It's just things to look out for. The second column here lists possible reasons for low HCl levels in your stomach. The first one is high levels of stress. That's a big one. It could be unhealthy diet practices, eating food too quickly, eating foods that are high in sugar, prescription drugs, or pre-existing digestion problems. So those are some reasons for causes of low HCl levels. And you can see some of them are temporary. For instance, if the stress goes away, then you might start feeling better and generating better HCl levels. The third column is ways to remedy low HCl levels. The first one I put because of this book is taking chlorine dioxide, of course, because one of the big things chlorine dioxide does right off the bat is it kills the bad bacteria, which is, for instance, H. pylori in your stomach. The next one is the next thing to do is to limit processed foods. Have a more balanced diet that's rich in foods and fruits and vegetables. That can also increase your stomach acid levels. Another one that I found was to drink apple cider vinegar in small prescribed doses. Another one is to eat ginger. Another one is to eat easy to digest foods, like diet changes to healthier foods. Another way to remedy low HCl levels is to take natural enzyme supplements, which you can buy online or at health food stores. Another one is to eat fermented vegetables like kimchi, sauerkraut, or pickles. They can naturally improve your stomach's acid levels. So that's a little bit about hydrochloric levels in your stomach, just to give you an idea what to think about, what to consider. Protocol 1, startup suggestions. Easing into the MMS sodium chloride mix. In doing the protocol 1, you can begin in small amounts and ease up in the number of drops over time. However, remember that even a single drop or two a day may have an impact on a person's health as a maintenance dose. In my case, I noticed a positive difference with just 2 drops of MMS per day, and that was using the activated method too. There is no reason to rush the increase in drops any faster than your body will accept them. Here is a suggested amount for starting up quickly with Protocol 1. And I go through these day 1 through day 5. Day 1, put 1 drop in each of the 2-liter quarts of water. Drink this through the day as you would normally drink water. Day 2, put 2 drops in each of the 2-liter quarts of water. That you drink during the day, and drink as you would normally drink your water. Day 3, 3 drops in each of the 2 liters or quarts of water that you drink during the day. Now remember, that's 3 drops per liter. And also remember that a liter is about the same as a quart in measurement. Day 4, 4 drops in each of the 2 liter quart or quarts of water you drink during the day. And day 5, 5 drops in each of the 2 liters of quarts of water that you drink during the day. Always, always, always remember, if you start feeling quite sick with nausea or stomach pains or other Herxheimer symptoms, reduce the amount that you drink from the Protocol 1 mix. This is a constant and steady flow of ClO2, and you should not push the amount that you take. You can regulate your intake by diluting your drinking mix or just drinking less from the bottles and then supplement with some normal water that you drink. Handling Herxheimer with unactivated MMS. If at any time while drinking the unactivated MMS dosages it makes you feel sick in any way, you will just reduce your drops per liter or quart by 1 to 2 drops and see how you feel. Sometimes you can just drink less from your bottle and drink liquids from another source so that you are putting less unactivated MMS in you for a while. There will be some continuous adjusting up and down as you take it. After several days to weeks of using unactivated MMS or Protocol 1, you will find that you get used to the protocol and you find that it works for you. You should be able to take between 3 to 5 drops per liter, drinking about 2 liters of this a day or more. If you are mixing the Protocol 1 for another person to drink, this brings a new dimension of making and taking the dosages. For instance, the pre-mixing of Protocol 1 drinking water for your kids or an elderly family member doing that, you would need to be careful with their body experience. And with this, and in the case of sibling children, you may even need to make different potencies for different kids. It takes extra care to monitor that person's response to each dosage and be able to adjust the amounts of drops in the water that is best for their needs. Just remember that 1 to 5 drops of unactivated MMS per liter will not cause any serious injury to a person. It would just have the potential to be uncomfortable for a short period of time as a person's body adjusts to the detoxing process. Protocol 1 benefits. These are sample examples, and I'm going to go through just some scenarios where you might see what it does and how it works. A very big upside to using Protocol 1 as your drinking water is that the water serves as 2 great purposes. One is for hydration, and the other is for promoting healing through oxidation, oxygenation, and chloridation. Even though the results may vary because of low levels of drops, you can look to see improvement in many areas of your physical challenges. I say that the results vary because these are low amounts of dosages compared to the activated MMS and the CDS dosages, which are much stronger against disease. All of this happens in a way where you don't even taste the medicine that you're taking. I have put some bullet points or examples of how this could be a game changer for the health of some individuals. See below. So let's say that you may struggle with urinary tract infections, UTIs. If you're prone to having urinary tract infections, you drink this you become hydrated while the infection is minimized or avoided completely. This is trips to the doctors for antibiotics. They're averted. You also have that 4-day wait time of taking antibiotics before feeling better. That is avoided. Money saved. Let's say you struggle with allergies. If you have chronic and debilitating allergies, you may find that the small amounts of ClO2 cause the allergies to begin to fade and possibly go away. With this, you would have trips to specialists for medications that are averted, money saved, tissue paper use is reduced, that's for blowing your nose, and your quality of life is improved. Gastrointestinal gut problems, if you struggle with that. If you have a messed up gastrointestinal system where your stomach hurts regularly from eating or digesting food, you may find that this slowly fades away, and you can digest food that used to cause lots of problems. And with this, you have trips to the doctor reduced. Protocol 1 actually works better than the medications that they give you anyway. You're doing workout, your performance levels. If you're an athlete who does intense workouts and is looking for better ways to improve performance with oxygen and exercising, as well as a faster recovery of your muscles from lactic acid buildup, you may find your performance improves substantially and you recover much faster from workouts. So with this, you have trips to the health supplement store averted and money saved. Brain fog. If you suffer from regular brain fog related to medications or getting old, as in my case, both of them, chronic sinusitis problems, also a problem I had, or even sleep apnea, you find that this clears up and is mostly reduced due to your drinking water. With this, your quality of life has improved. You're able to teach math in front of a class again, which was my struggle with my meds, without losing track of what I was doing. Home projects, if you're doing physical labor and you're looking to recover faster. If you do occasional work around the garden or home projects and are concerned that you are going to be extremely stiff and sore for days after, you may find that this pain and suffering is greatly reduced due to your drinking water. With this, pain and suffering is reduced, quality of life improved, extra oxygen boost while working, garden and home DIY projects are more successful. As an antivirus, which killing viruses in the body, if you are concerned about getting some kind of virus or other pathogen floating around in the air, you may find that you just don't get sick like others do. This is, again, from Protocol 1. You've got benefits of fear level lowered, quality of life increased, chance of getting sick is lowered dramatically. Another issue, if you're struggling with insomnia from age or malfunctioning pineal gland or some other issue, if you have this, you can't fall asleep, or if you wake up in the night and you find you cannot fall back asleep, even when you know that you are lacking sleep, you may find that you fall asleep easier and sleep more restful through the night. If you do get up in the night, you fall asleep more easily. Sleep deprivation avoided, restful healing through sleep increased. And this is one that I personally experienced and have talked with others that experienced that as well. If you are going through a substance addiction recovery, you may be trying to offset the withdrawal difficulties or some kind of addictive substances and medications. You may find that the addictive impulses are lowered because the ClO2 breaks down the substances in your body that are contributing to the addiction so that you can flush them out of you faster. So again, keep in mind that these are sample examples. In some cases, they're based off of real experiences. And in some cases, they're based off of what I know the science would do. Children and smaller adults with unactivated MMS. Because the Protocol 1 is premixed into drinking water volumes, there is not a great need to adjust the protocol to fit the size of the person taking it. Adults and larger people, like myself, will tend to drink higher amounts of water based on their physical needs. However, smaller adults and children will drink lower quantities of water according to their needs. You can also dilute the water as needed for specific situations. Again, the key for adjusting the potency between 1 to 5 drops per liter is to be very aware of the person's response after each dose and make adjustments. Protocol 1 as a molecular energy drink for athletic workouts. As you take the Protocol 1 on a regular basis, you will probably find that this flavorless water does some special things to help your exercise or athletic workouts. It doesn't matter if you are just working in the garden or on your hands and knees, lifting heavy materials on a construction site, or running a marathon. Using this protocol before, during, and after workouts has some noticeable benefits that you will probably realize if you are paying attention to your body while you are on it. First of all, it removes lactic acid by oxidation. This means that the creation of lactic acid from working your muscles and the removal of it through oxidation of acids in your bloodstream are done simultaneously as you drink and exert yourself. Secondly, it gives the body a flow of oxygen to the bloodstream. This is not oxygen that you breathe through your lungs. It is the oxygen that is created chemically from NaClO2. The Na goes on to create things like tiny amounts of salt in the body, which is a form of electrolyte. The O2 breaks apart and goes straight into the bloodstream. It is literally like drinking a packaged form of oxygen that will help you with your exercise. I've always wanted to give some Protocol 1 to athletes at the midpoint or halftime of a game to see how it boosts their performance to the end. The next thing ClO2 will do while in the body is to release the chlorine atom, which becomes chloride, a natural electrolyte in the body which benefits the blood flow and cell health, among other things. This helps with the recirculation of fluids in the body system and helps with faster recovery. Lastly, the hydrogen atoms are released in the system, which also can help with digestion and other body functions. When you understand the scientific chemistry of how NaClO2 works in the body, turning to ClO2 and then O2 and then Cl, it is easy to see that this will enhance the performance and recovery of someone as a pre- or post-workout drink. It is also nice to know that there is no residue of chemical material or toxic substance that is left behind when you take it in your water. It simply turns to oxygen and chloride, items that are already pre-existing in the body. For those that are new to using this, I would suggest keeping the level of NaClO2 drops on the lower end, which is 1 to 3 drops per liter, because of the possibility of having a Herxheimer reaction while on a jog or playing football. It might be very inconvenient if you suddenly need to go to the bathroom while being out and about doing these things. In the end, it takes practice to learn how your body works with Protocol 1. I should also note that you can use activated MMS and CDS as energy-enhancing supplements as well. They just have a stronger, sour, bitter taste that comes with their formulation. Now, I give you all this information about Herxheimer response reactions, not to scare you off. I just want you to be aware. I've never really had a Herxheimer reaction that went drastically terrible. It was just something to notice. Do foods or supplements neutralize the potency of Protocol 1? The short answer is yes. As explained earlier in the book, there are foods that will neutralize the potency of unactivated MMS because of the chlorine dioxide that will be entering the bloodstream. The same things like chocolate, milk, and other foods that are high in antioxidants will cause the water to be temporarily neutralized for an hour or two. However, keep in mind that the water is a lower dosage and is more consistently taken throughout the full day compared to the other methods and formulas of chlorine dioxide. Where activated MMS and CDS are taken for 8 to 10 hours a day for 21 days, you would be taking a Protocol 1 all day for months on end or longer. You can see the future chapters for more information on the other protocols. How I do Protocol 1. I have used different variations of Protocol 1 for over 6 months now, with good success. I've tried it with my cycling workouts, in my typical work days, as well as while doing construction work. I have found that I get that steady stream of energy and endurance while working, which lasts beyond the end of the workday as I continue to drink my Protocol 1 water. I've also noticed that the more activity that I am doing, the less I notice that I have any Herxheimer response. The Herx response is typically mild anyway, just a tiny itty-bitty cramp in my stomach. In other cases where I take a bigger drink and then sit still in a chair for a long period, like in a movie or something like that, I tend to be more aware of any slight stomach cramps. It is not painful or anything, just a little noticeable. Just be careful not to take something like an 8-gulp drink of this if you are new to it. It puts a lot of stress on your stomach, to absorb that much NaClO2. Learn as you go. As for the increases in energy while using the NaClO2 in Protocol 1, I point out that it is not the same as what you would get from a caffeinated drink or energy drinks or high sugar soft drinks. Those things give you a boost of energy followed by a drop-off where you feel fatigued. Unactivated MMS is flavorless in water and provides pure oxygen to your muscles, organs, and brain without any drop-off of energy or strength after. This is not the same as any type of energy drink or caffeinated soda. Over time, the Protocol 1, you'll notice the mini cramps disappear and I am just drinking from my water bottle like normal. Once in a while, when I have an empty stomach, I do get a small burp that has the scent of ClO2, which is kind of a chlorine flavor, but it is not very noticeable. I put the drops in the water and mostly regulate how much I drink by the number of sips that I take. For me, usually a 4-sip drink is normal, especially in the mornings when I wake up. I've heard that your HCl levels are higher at that point anyway. Occasionally, I will take a 5-to-8-sip drink after exercising, and I usually only take about 2-to-3 when I want to clear my throat. If I ever happen to feel that my stomach is having a little cramp, I may sip only 1-to-2 sips from the bottle and then get a drink of normal water for any extra thirst. That way I'm lowering my intake of Protocol 1, but still getting water as needed. So, what is the solution to taking Protocol 1 around foods or supplements that might weaken or neutralize the chlorine dioxide? It is to space these items apart from your drinks within reason. Don't worry too much about it, but try as best as you can to steer clear of things. For instance, if you know that you're going to have some chocolate cake with milk after dinner or before dinner, then you may try to have a Protocol 1 drink about 100 to 200 mLs or 2-to-6 sips for me, at least 15 minutes before having the cake. See, you know the cake's got chocolate in it, it might have milk in it, but you got to keep things within reason. Take it 15 minutes before the cake and at least some of it gets absorbed in your body. This will at least get at least some of the supplement in your bloodstream before the chocolate neutralizes it. Additionally, if you are going to have a meal that may have some antioxidants in it, try to space at least 10-15 minutes or more between a drink of the protocol water before eating food. Do the best you can with your situation and just keep consistent with daily usage. Now keep in mind, ideally, if you have an empty stomach and you take some of this, that gets absorbed much better and easier than if you're eating food and drinking it at the same time. In the afternoons and evenings, I should include that I stop my Protocol 1 drinking and do hydrogen therapy. That's just part of my experiments with hydrogen and Brown's gas. This is a part of my current experiments with the body where I am testing it out and that method to learn more. I talk about this later in the book in greater detail. Because chlorine dioxide and hydrogen offset each other, I make sure to space these treatments apart by 1 to 2 hours. So I take a break after Protocol 1s, and then after a little while I start some hydrogen therapy as I can. Summary: what Protocol 1 is and isn't. In summary, the Protocol 1 water is a quick and simple way to take chlorine dioxide in less potent dosages. Because there is no taste in the water, it is a great way for a beginner to try out chlorine dioxide and see if there are any noticeable impacts at the lower levels of 1 to 2 drops per liter. For the more experienced ClO2 user, it is a way to keep from getting sick on a maintenance level of dosages, the higher levels, 3, 4, 5 drops per liter. Protocol 1 is probably not as potent as the activated MMS or the CDS protocols can be, which is discussed later in the chapters, but it does seem to be a great supplement to help not get sick and to have a boost of oxygen energy in the body. The Protocol 1 may not be as well known, but it is extremely convenient. Remember that one drop of NaClO2 in water is not the same as a one-drop mix of activated MMS. It's more potent. It is probably more potent. Additionally, one drop of activated MMS, which again is discussed in later chapters, is also probably more potent than a millimeter of CDS. For me, Protocol 1 is the most practical way to take chlorine dioxide on a daily basis. Now, at the end of this chapter, I want to give special thanks to my sources on using unactivated MMS, this Protocol 1 sodium chloride plus water. I would like to thank these individuals for teaching the world about how to use sodium chloride in the unactivated way. That's Mr. Scott McRae, Jonathan Cuppet, Dr. Robert Young, and Jim Humble, of course.